All right. Hey, good to have you here. Make sure wasn't something there important there. Do you ever hear the song, Que sera, sera, oh, Darce Day, whatever will be, the future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be. Now that's kind of a secular point of view, but the fact is, there's a lot of truth in that. But if you look, if you're sitting in our seat, we got one other thing to remember. Not only what will be, but God's in on it. And God still makes all things work together for good, that those who love him were called according to his purpose. And sometimes in the process, and I'm not going to get to a lot of this tonight, but sometimes in the process of serving the Lord, things happen that we don't understand. That doesn't mean God has dropped the ball. Doesn't mean that he's not working. Doesn't mean that he no longer loves us. Doesn't mean that his promises are no longer true. But in this world we shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, he's overcome the world. But he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities. In fact, there's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, who after you have suffered a while shall establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory. God's working, and he's teaching us some things. He's trying to strengthen us to make us. Maybe we don't have a great problem coming, but maybe he'll help us handle the normal problems better. But there may be a great problem coming, and he's preparing us. Do you ever hear? You know, folks who like to work out, obviously I don't know a whole lot about that. But they say, you know, no pain, no gain. You work until it burns. Because unless you work the muscles beyond your current normal ability, so to speak, your current normal usage, our muscles don't need to grow, and they won't. And it could be that when we really need the strength, we won't have it because we haven't exercised the muscles. And God exercises our lives. He exercises our faith. He exercises our knowledge of God. He exercises our Christianity to make us stronger, so we're ready for what comes at us. And there's some things in here that I think I want you to understand, and we'll get some more of that next week. But I want to finish up this first. So in our passage here, Acts chapter 14, I'm just going to read the first four verses, and then we will move on here a little bit more next week. Acts chapter 14, verse 1, it says, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of both Jews and also of Greeks believed. Now, if you remember from earlier messages, that's exactly what happened earlier on in the previous chapter. They went into the synagogue, and both Jews and Greeks came to trust Christ, or came to believe. Verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore. If you see the word therefore, look what it's there for. All right. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. Now, which one was right, the Jews or the apostles? The apostles. But part of them held with the Jews, and part of them held with the apostles. So the part that held with the Jews, does that mean that apostles were wrong? No. Just because somebody doesn't agree with you, don't back down from the truth. And don't feel like you're on the losing side. Let's pray. And we're talking about tools in the hand of God, kind of part two. Tools in the hand of God. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we want to be in you. And so, Lord, help us to live by trust, to trust and obey, to make ourselves usable of you, to surrender to you. And whatever will be as we surrender and put ourselves in you. So, Lord God, our thoughts, ask your Holy Spirit to move in Christ's name. Amen. From last week, we compared what happened here to what had just happened in the chapter before. And if you were here with us, you realize that there's quite a parallel between the two. And so number one, we learned last week that they still have the same calling. So they went out and spoke at the synagogues with the Jews and the Greeks. That's exactly what they did last time. Even though, if you look at the end of chapter 13, the Jews stirred up the devout, honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And so they're going to go to Iconium. And what's going to happen in Iconium? Well, the unbelieving Jews are going to stir up the Gentiles and make their minds evil affected. Same old stuff. So we got they got the same calling, just to do what we're supposed to do, letter B. They have the same plan. And what is that? To preach the gospel to get folks saved. So they went to where the folks were and they preached them the gospel. And letter C, when the folks reject your message, just move on. That's what they did. They just moved on. And if your folks reject your love, just keep on serving them. Just keep let them see Jesus. And letter D, talked about expectations. You can only be disappointed if you have an expectation that is not fulfilled. So how do you keep from being disappointed? Because we all have expectations that are not fulfilled. Make sure that you got the right expectation. What's the right expectation? Our expectation is to have the opportunity to give the gospel to others and help them grow in the Lord as he gives opportunity. Now, it's the opportunity to help them grow in the Lord. What we're asking for is an opportunity to give them the word of God. And if God gives you the opportunity to give the word of God, well then, be happy. But I didn't accomplish anything. Oh, you don't know what you accomplished, what you didn't accomplish. Remember, the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, whether you can see it in their eyes or not. They're working in their heart. I can't tell you how many times I've said this over the last 20 years, but the fact is, we were all teenagers at one time, and our parents were telling us what for, and we're rolling our eyes. Yeah. And we in our mind were saying, you're right, but I'm not going to let you know that. And we fight it, and we do our own thing, and we roll our eyes. In the meantime, the Lord is they're speaking to our heart, and the Holy Spirit's telling them, you know they're right. And we're not letting on. And eventually, we grew up and found out that our parents were smarter than we thought. And so, you know, just because you're not seeing the evidence today doesn't mean it's not working. Just keep doing it. By the way, same thing with your kids. So, our expectation is to have the opportunity to give the gospel. Number two, problems are possibilities and thus opportunities. When someone comes into a problem, that means it's going to draw their attention. Attention is going to be drawn to that issue, drawn to what you're doing there, drawn to the situation. And that's a wonderful time for the Lord to show himself powerful and mighty. So letter E, we must trust God to give the opportunities as we yield ourselves to his will, not our will. We want what he wants to happen, and his way, not our way, his way. You know, we have a whole way that everything's supposed to work where it's not a problem. We've got it all laid out in our mind how everything's supposed to fall into place and everything's going to be wonderful and I come out on top and no sweat and I'm the hero. You know how that goes? But usually it doesn't come out that way. God has something else that he's doing in our life. And so we got to yield to his will, to his way, and his wisdom. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Letter F. Meantime, what are we doing? We are ever preparing ourselves to be better tools in God's hands and be ever presenting the word of God by word and deed. We're ever preparing ourselves. By the way, he's also preparing us. Sometimes that struggle that we go through is something that we're going to need to help somebody else. The Bible talks about how we can comfort someone else with the comfort that we have received from him ourselves. And he's going to use us to be a comfort because somebody probably comforted you. You know, there was somebody who encouraged you. Now it's our turn to encourage them. And so he uses us. So we should be ever preparing ourselves to be ready when the opportunity shows up. And then be ever ready to present the word of God, the truth. So we need to know the word of God. Again, don't wait until the opportunity comes up and somebody needs to give somebody the gospel for you to go back and find out what the gospel really is. We say, well, I know enough to get saved. Well, good. Can you tell somebody about it? Can you give them the gospel? Can you put it in words? Or are you going to pull a Biden and not be able to get it all out? You know, I mean, we should never. Well, it's kind of hard to explain. It's not. A child can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not careful. We'll even be guilty of thinking, if I can explain it, I must not have it all there. It must be too easy. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God commanded his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just not that difficult. We need to be ready. Number two, we found out Newtown, the same reactions. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And simply some people are going to believe and are saved, and some are going to reject them and persecute them. This is going to sound terrible. Que sera, sera. It's not that we don't care about their heart. I know that sounds terrible, but the fact is, how many billions of people are on the face of this globe that we live on? We need to give the gospel to whomever we can get a hold of. Wherever God gives us an opportunity. Don't let the fact that somebody, who may be somebody important to you, rejects the gospel. Keep praying for them. You get another opportunity, give them the gospel again. If it's somebody that's that important to you, you're probably going to run into them a few more times. Make sure your testimony is clear and clean. Make sure not only is it clear and clean when you're right there in front of them, but make sure that people hear about you from long distance is going to be clear and praise to God. There's so many times we can be, you know, cantankerous and complaining and all this kind of stuff, just like the rest of the world. I mean, there's some things we just can't do anything about. And that could be what way we want it to be. I've got a sign in my office. Some of you have seen it. I used this phrase for years, and then I saw this sign. It's nothing new, but it's sitting up on the shelf in my office. And I hate to say it, when you come in and sit in the little sofa in my office, it's right there. And you know what it says? It is what it is. It is what it is. You know, no matter where you stand, some people are going to think you should have stood a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit forward, a little bit back. Very seldom in the whole world, when we talk about regular life, is there a perfect answer. The perfect answer I know is that you're saved by grace through faith. No matter how you get there, that's the answer. That's perfect. But you know what? Whether I should dress this way or do this way, we should do this in the ministry or we shouldn't do this in the ministry, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's everybody's opinion. You know, you do your best to think something through for the best of the folks, of all the best overall effect for everybody. You know, you can't fix it for everybody, but you do your best to make it good for the vast majority as you can. And sure enough, you're gonna get yourself in trouble. We can go out and give the folks the gospel of Jesus Christ with a sincere heart, with a tear in our eye and a cry in our voice that came right from the very pit of our soul. And some will still reject it. Don't let that change where you stand. And don't let it change what you do. We're all going to get pushback all the time. And the fact is, we all have probably been somewhere along the way, we thought, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here. And a couple days, you look back and say, was that really going to be worth losing everything that is good out of this? No. So some are going to believe and be saved, and some are going to reject and persecute them. That's just the way it is. And we got to be ready for it. Now let's come to number three. That's new. Number three. It is the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit which does the work. It is the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit which does the work. Let me read verse 3. Long time, therefore. Now, what do you mean? What's that? Let me give you a running start here. It came to pass at Iconium that they went both together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake throughout a great multitude of both Jews and also the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So, for a long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So he says they were rejecting. They were telling them, this is not going to work. They're trying to discourage them and stop. So what did they do? Long time they kept speaking the truth. They didn't just walk out. There's people there who need to hear. And so they were giving them the gospel. And so they were helping those who wanted to hear. Those who didn't want to hear, fine, don't listen. But we're going to give the gospel and the truth to those who want to. Now watch me. Let me go back to this phrase here. It is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit which does the work. Do you realize what a relief that is? Now you got to think about this. My job is to use the Word of God. So like I've been talking on Sunday morning, we ought to know the Word of God. You can't use it if you don't know it. Did you ever get a new power tool when you think it's really nice, but you have no idea what all it'll do? You know what I'm saying? My Chrysler was giving up the ghost. It had all kinds of issues there, and the warranty was going bad, and so I traded it in, I bought a car, I got another one, of course, it has all the bells and whistles, and it has this thick is the manual. And so there's all kinds of things that thing will do. It was just about, change the baby's diaper. I mean, it's just amazing what it will do. But you got to know it. I got to know what I have there. And folks, listen, we have all the great and precious promises of God, and we want to share that, but so often we just say, well, they're great, well, name me one. Can you name one? There you go. This is all the ones that talk about our daily needs. You ought to have those memorized. We're supposed to live by faith, and faith is action based on a promise or command of God. But do we know the promises and the commands? You ought to be able to name them. Verbalize it. And by the way, you start verbalizing, you'll be able to go back through your life and start seeing, oh, wait a minute, he did that. Back in 1972. He did this right back here in 95. Well, I remember now, if I think about it, I remember when we first got married, he did thus and so and thus and so. Well, you know, if you think about it, I guess that's what he did with my grandchild the other day. If you know it. Now, the Word of God, but wait a minute, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is it that I need to do to really, I mean, where does my energy, if you want to say it that way, my energy need to be focused? When I'm trying to help somebody in the Word of God, where's my energy supposed to be focused? On worry. No, my energy is focused on knowing the Word of God and getting myself right with God. If I will walk with God, then I'm walking in the Spirit. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, then the Spirit is walking in me. So not only do I have the fruit of the Spirit, but also have the power of the Holy Spirit working through me. There's an awful lot of folks who are trying to raise their kids without the power of the Holy Spirit. They are spending their time and their energy reading all the parenting books. And now these days, if you don't get in the right spot, they're going to be telling you how you need to accept their gender identity, or you're going to hurt their psyche. You need to build up their self-esteem. Don't do what those crazy Christians do and tell them that they're sinners headed for hell. What do we need to do to raise our kids? Know the Word of God and be right with God, so when we talk to them, it's the Spirit of God is talking to them. We got Christian school teachers in here. You really want to have control of your kids. They need to sense the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. They need to sense the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. When they see the audience, listen, they may not be able to put their finger on it, but they ought to be able to say, there's something different about that lady. Something different about that guy. He's not like my other teachers at the old school. He's tough. He's firm. But I think he loves me. He cares about me. There should be something there. We work in the power of the Holy Spirit. So listen, they had some folks that were accepting the Word of God here, and a lot of them were trying to talk them out of it. But what it says is, long time therefore, abode they stayed right there, speaking boldly in the Lord. What's that mean? With the power of the Lord behind their words. Watch, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. What do you mean, which? The power of the Holy Spirit, the part that's boldly in the Lord. The Lord was giving testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You know what just said? The Lord is working in that situation. What were they doing? They were speaking boldly, clearly. I'm going to talk about that in a second. They were giving it out, but they weren't doing the work. They're not doing the convincing. They're doing the proclaiming. Folks, some of you, I know you still think I'm kind of weird about this. And I know there's some folks that get all woo about the Holy Spirit. The same Bible that tells us that Jesus died and paid for our sins and he's the Son of God tells us there's a third person in the Godhead, and it's the Holy Spirit. The third person. All of God, but yet a person all by himself as well. There's a power in the Holy Spirit. And yet we will try to do the work of God. Whether it's raising kids or doing our job at our employment, whether it's being a teacher, whether it's doing what we need to do, serving in the ministry at the church, and we don't even talk to the Holy Spirit about it. Old Jack Kyles, I knew he had his problems. We had a book called Meet the Holy Spirit. And he starts this thing out, at least somewhere soon in the book, he says, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine that I ignored for years and years and years. But when I decided I wanted to get to know him, everything changed. John 16:7, the words of Jesus, the last night before he's going to be crucified. Final instructions to the disciples are going to be left on earth to do the work of God in his place. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which later he says is the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness. And he will reprove the world of judgment. That's what the grammar would say. What's he saying? It's not your job to convince them, to reprove, to convince by exposing to. It's not our job to convince the world they're sinners. Because they look at us and say, well, you're a sinner too. So I'm no worse than you are. In fact, I might be better than you are. It's not our job to prove the world that righteousness is. Because we certainly don't live it perfectly. Jesus did, but he's gone. You read the next verse, he explains that to you. It's not our job to make them scared of the judgment. Because we all shall also be judged. Our job is to proclaim it. It's the job of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who goes along beside us. Listen, we can mean well. We can mean well. And be very passionate and have great empathy and passion for people. But the fact is, we want to do the work. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to do the work. And sometimes we spend all our efforts trying to hone our skills. Watch, trying to become a sharper axe to go to the woods to be used. And we should make ourselves as sharp as we can. But an axe can't swing itself. The master woodsman swings the axe. He knows just how to strike that tree. Now we should give him the best axe he can use, to have to use. But it's the master's swing, the master's touch. Remember that old song? The old violin? It was battered and torn. Da, da, dee, dee. Okay, old song there. He'll take this old violin. An old man gets up and tunes it up. And he said, brought out a song as sweet as could be. oh, it looked battered and awful, beat up, dented and torn and cracked. But the master gets a hold of it, makes beautiful music. Let the master get a hold of you. You'd be surprised what beauty can come out. Letter B. Whether anyone receives what we preach or not, the only thing we can begin with is the gospel. Now he says there in verse 3, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. It says long time, ample time, sufficient time. The word that you're looking for is sufficient. They didn't just breeze through town and throw a lot of words out. They took the proper time to make sure that the folks understood. And I put underneath there, don't be scared off too soon. Now, I talk about, you know, if they won't hear, you move on. But make sure they've heard before you move on. This sounds funny. When I think of leading some to the Lord, this is going to sound really weird. You know the first thing I think of, besides my Bible in my pocket? Sit down. That's the first thing I think of. I want you to sit down here. Give me some time. Because I want you to understand this thoroughly. I want you to put your faith in something. But if you can't tell me the story back, how can you put your faith in it? 9 times out of 10. Now, there's been some times where they all already knew all this. It's obvious they knew it all. They just needed somebody to walk them through it and give them assurance that they had done what they were supposed to do. You know, I understand that. But most times, even if I feel like they kind of know the story, I walk them through. We talk about the blood. We talk about our sin. We talk about the crucifixion. We talk about the arrest. We talk about the resurrection. We talk about faith. We talk about these things. They're not difficult, but they are essential. That when we're finished giving them the gospel, they know what it is I'm asking them to trust in. And so they gave, when you say the long time, therefore, let's say it this way. They made sure that it was sufficient amount of time for those people to hear the truth. It was sufficient. Letter C. Long time, therefore. Letter C. What do you mean, therefore? Because there was persecution and the unbelieving Jews had evil affected the minds of the Gentiles, they felt they needed to abide and stay a while just to make sure they knew the truth. Listen, they were evil affecting these people. They gave them the truth and they never said, no, that's not the way it works. Well, that's a lie. Well, that's a... He said, well, we're getting a lot of pushback. Why don't we just slither out of town? He said, no, wait. I understand what these people are saying, but I want you to see the truth here in the Word of God. You watch. Do you realize it's not just that we want everybody to agree with us and prove that we're right? That has nothing to do with it. Is that the point is, do they understand the Word of God? Whether they even agree with it yet or not, that's not the point. That's the Holy Spirit's job to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, I need to be full of the Holy Spirit, so when they hear it, they're hearing it as if it's coming from the Holy Spirit himself as much as we can. But the fact is, our job is to be a witness, to tell them what has happened, and do so with a clean vessel in the power of the Holy Spirit. I may preach a message on this on a Sunday morning sometime, so if I do, you're ahead. Don't take this wrong. When Nicodemus in John 3 came to see Jesus at night, and they had their conversation, and he said, "Marvel not that I said to you that you must be born again." And he explained some things. Can you lead me to the verse where it says, "And Nicodemus believed in his heart"? If you know that passage, can you show me that verse? Can you show me a verse, huh, Doc? No, you can't. I do what we did see. We see a conversation among the Pharisees and Nicodemus speaking up and saying, "Well, should we really condemn a guy till we know the whole story? What do you mean? Have you believed in him too?" Things were changing. He was taking a stand. He probably did. But Jesus did not say, "Well, listen, don't you leave here. Let me make sure I pray with you before you go." I'm not saying we shouldn't give people an opportunity. Don't get mad at me here. What I'm saying is Nicodemus had an awful lot to think about because he had done a lot of thinking over the years. And he was a Pharisee. And my guess is he was a good Pharisee. He was among the rulers of Jerusalem. But I also think he was sincerely trying to find what was right. God and Jesus gave him time to find out. When he talked to the lady at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Do you see in there where it says that she, when the time she left there, that she believed? No, but she went downtown and got a bunch of other folks. Went downtown and got a lot of folks. Listen, I want to show you a man who told me everything I've ever done. Well, she's lying, but he told a lot of things she had done. But not everything. But anyway, everything, I guess anything important as far as she was concerned. What am I saying? I'm saying we need to be giving the Word of God in the power of God and making sure they understand they need to accept it. Guide them if you can say, "Well, you know, if I do this often, if God will take you just like you are, forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it?" And I've had folks say yes most of the time. And some folks said, And I've tried, see if there's any questions or so forth. And then what do you do? I don't coerce them to put their head down. Let the Lord and the Holy Spirit's working, whether we know it or not. Some of you may not agree with me on this. You're kind of quiet, but that's all right. You don't have to. So therefore, because of persecution, unbelieving, he kept giving them the gospel. He told them the truth, and he gave them plenty of time. Letter D, he speaks boldly. The word is frankly, and confidently, not arrogantly. Listen, whether folks believe it or not, whether they were warmly accepted or not, they felt there were some who would believe, and so they continued to calmly and yet firmly speak the words of the grace of God. Number two, they spoke encouragingly of the grace of God, even if all those who realized their sin and the condemnation of justice. They spoke encouragingly of the grace of God, given to all those who will realize their sin and condemnation of justice. Letter E. Notice the purpose of the miracles. He said he granted signs and wonders. Now this is a whole can of worms all by itself. Notice the purpose of the miracles. Here it is. To mark them as being from God. It says, long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, signs, the word signs means a mark or an indicator. So it granted them something that was indicating, and then there was the word is wonder there. Number two is an omen, O-M-E-N, omen. That's people watch for these things all the time. Well, this is from God. Now, be careful about this. Sometimes people claim things are coming from God, it didn't come from God, all right? But especially if it's not leading you to do something in agreement with God. I've had this way too many times. I've had folks say, well, I know this and this because this happened to me. Yeah, but that goes against this. Yeah, I know, but I know what happened to me, and I'm sure that's what it meant. Well, it couldn't have if it goes against God's word. I'm sorry, I don't mean, but it can't. So be careful with that. But let me read a couple of scriptures here. John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me that for the very works' sake, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now the Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Romans 15:17. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient, but by word and deed. Though mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I stirred to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as is written, to whom he was not spoken, or they shall see that they have not heard, shall understand. 2 Corinthians 12. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been almost have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Hebrews 2, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So in other words, those things were to mark them as being from God. Now watch me. Let me read one other thing here for you. In 1 Corinthians 13, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. I'm missing things here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's right. Hold on a second here. here we go. Verse 8. 13:8. Glove beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In fact, it says in verse 28 of chapter 12, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, 30 teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All those things were important. But he says there's a lot of these things that will, when it says cease, it means they're going to get less and less and less. It's not that he can't do it. The point is, that when that which is perfect has come, I believe that which is perfect is when Peter says we have a more sure word of truth, and that's the word of God. The signs were there to show those men, were mark those men to be from God. So when they gave us the word of God, we knew where it was coming from. Now we have it. We have it. Now watch This is tough now. Letter F. The purpose of the signs and wonders is not to necessarily heal, but to show who it is that is speaking to them. It is to draw glory to God, bring attention to Him, and to validate God's spokesman. God does heal at times, but other times it is not His purpose to heal. If it was always God's will to heal, like some healers say that's the case, then as long as we're right with God, we should never die. Right? Why do healers die? I'm not trying to be mean. I think the principle is God can heal. I think He's willing to heal. But the fact is, it's not always His will. Now hang tight with me. It is not that we are to hang on to this life, but that we are to want our lives to bring glory to God. I don't have a whole lot of time to read this, time to go, but let me show you this here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 says this. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren, the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, in fact, he was locked up, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, and we will rejoice therein. Do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet What shall I choose? I what not? For I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. So if God wants to perform a miracle to bring glory to Him, then that's good. It might mean you have to spend more years on this earth, and that might be unpleasant. He performs a miracle and saves your life, and it could be that it's going to be rough. They say, tradition says, that the Apostle John was boiled in oil and didn't die. And he didn't know what to do with him. So they put him out on the Isle of Patmos, and that's where he wrote the book of the Revelation. He saved his life and then exiled him. But that's so he could write the book of the Revelation. They said, if God wants to take you home to bring glory to God, then you get to go home early. If God wants to allow you to have a thorn in your side for the rest of your life, even though you've prayed three times to get rid of it like Paul did. But if that brings the best glory to Him by the way you handle it, then fine. But if He chooses to miraculously heal you of that problem to bring glory to Him, then that's good too. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. I don't know, but I do know this. God's in charge. The purpose of the signs and the wonders are not so that we can bring, the purpose and the signs and wonders are so we can bring the most glory to God and thus draw the most people to Him. The goal is to seek and to save that which is lost and bring them to Jesus Christ. Whatever God knows will do that the best, then that is what we need to be willing to do. Whatever it takes to be more like you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'd be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'd be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do.